We've been talking about our primary vision was, in a sense, to talk about faith, family, and friends over the last number of weeks, and faith being our trust in the Lord and all that surrounds that, not just trusting in Jesus, but believing his word and activating it and walking in it, that's a priority in the kingdom. And then after that, that family is next in line to that, you know, immediately after that. And then after that, friends. And friends means basically everything other than family, people that are around you. In fact, Jesus called everyone a friend, not just your neighbor or not just your acquaintance, but literally any soul in the world that you encounter, you are to be friendly towards. And that literally that all three of those areas, our faith, family, and friends, are to work together, that's to be our focus. And why? They speak of relationships. Relationships are the only thing that are eternal in value. And so this last week, we kind of went on from there, and that was our foundation. And I asked the question, what's important to God? What's the most important priority to God? And we went and looked back in Ezekiel 47, and we looked at the account where Ezekiel has this vision, and he sees this river, and an angel takes him in, and at first he's knee-deep. And then he's, ankle deep. And then he's knee deep. And then he's waist deep. And then he's swimming. And as we looked at that last weekend, if you didn't hear this sermon last week, I encourage you to get it. It's in the foyer. You can download it online. But it talked about the fact that while we're standing on the bottom of the river, and the river representing the presence of God, because that's what it is, that as long as we're standing on the bottom, we're directing where we're going. In other words, the water's rushing by, and we feel it rushing by, and we may even sense God in our lives when we're doing that. But until we take our feet off the bottom, until we push into the depths of the river and let go and are carried by the Spirit, that's when God can begin to move. Why? Because then he can carry you where he wants to. While you're standing on the bottom, you may feel God, you may see God doing stuff, but ultimately you're not being carried by the Spirit. And that's where you and I, that's surrender. Where when you take your feet off the bottom and you're carried by that current and he takes you where there's healing, he takes you so you can bring healing. That's where God wants us to be, in the depth of his river of the Spirit. And that's a hard thing to do for us control freaks. My hands are up. And we asked last week how many people are kind of control freaks. And many of you put your hands up. And it's true. We by nature want to be able to say no or yes. And here's the thing. Even when you're carried in the Spirit, the Bible says this, that the Spirit is subject to the prophet. You know what that means? Here's what it means. At any time you want to put your feet down on the bottom and stop, you can. God will not make you or force you to do anything. It's an act of faith to be carried by the Spirit. But if you feel like, oh, I can't handle this, you can put your feet back down and stop, just like that. But you won't want to. Once you experience what God is doing and where he can take you when you begin to trust him, he will take you and you will have things happen in your life that you've never imagined, that you could never do or go to by yourself. And for us as believers, it is an act of faith to do it. And I'll tell you something. I don't have the corner on the market. I don't claim that every day I'm just floating down, you know, the stream of the river of where God wants me to go. But I'll tell you, I do it more now than I did a year ago. You get what I'm saying? And I do it more a year ago than I did 5 years ago. In other words, it takes time. It takes practice. It takes an act of faith. But when you trust God and you let go, he does some amazing things. So we talked about that. And what I want to do today is very, very practical. And we're going to begin to talk about how to prioritize our priorities. It's easy to say, okay, God and his presence should be number one. I get that. You get that. But we want to go deeper than that into more of a hands-on kind of thing today to help you actually deal with some of these things in your life. So if you would go to your Bible or your app on your phone or your tablet or however you need to go, if you'll go to Ephesians chapter 5, I want to just look at a scripture, and then I want to give you a tool today. That's what I want to do. So in Ephesians chapter 5, familiar scripture beginning at verse 15. Actually, just before that, the Apostle Paul says, "Wake up, O sleeper." He's telling us to wake up. And then at verse 15, it says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." All right, go back to verse 15. It says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That's a very interesting word. In fact, the only place I've ever seen that word is in the Bible. And when you look it up to understand what it means, it talks about the idea that walk, don't walk with your eyes closed. In other words, don't just kind of wander and bang and bump through life, not aware of what's going on. It'd be like a person walking on a bridge that doesn't have any sides to it, and you fall off and crash into the water and get hurt. Well, why did that happen? You weren't aware of what was going on. Or if you go to some parts of the world, I remember we were in Albania back in the early 90s. And so we're walking along, and all of a sudden the guide says, stop! And because one of our people on our mission team was just about ready to walk into a hole. You know how they have storm drains when you walk in Poughkeepsie or walk anywhere? And there's storm drains with the screens across it and everything. Well, their country was in such chaos. The storm drains, they were gone. There was no screens there anymore. And literally, there was this gaping hole. And here's the thing. If you fall into it, there's nobody to sue. It's not like here in America. You know what I'm saying? You fall into the hole and get hurt or whatever. They're like, you're an idiot. You didn't see it. Go around it next time. And so the point is, when it says walk circumspectly, it means be aware of what's going on. Look around and have your eyes open and see. And so that's what Paul's saying to us. And then he goes on, and here's what he says. Not as fools, but as wise. And then verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You'll notice I underlined some words here. You know, we already talked about circumspectly, but redeeming the time, the word for time in the Bible is translated two different ways. One is chronos, and that's watch time. That's physical time. In other words, you know, it's coming up to 9 o'clock right now. So that's chronos time. But the word here for time is kairos. That's different. That's a divine encounter moment with God. That means like an anointed moment in time. And that's literally what's being said here. But don't be fools, but be wise, redeeming the time. In other words, why? Because when you look, the days are evil, the days are hurtful. Bad things have happened in life. How many people have had some bad things happen? Some hurtful things where you've been wounded and damaged. Well, here's the thing. The Apostle Paul says things have happened, but you need to redeem the time. You see, the enemy has tried to hurt you and wound you and keep you from all that God has for you. But he's saying you need to do what? Redeem it. Get it back. Take it back from the enemy, because God wants to give you divine moments still. You know, those divine moments may have come and gone, but God is saying there's more of those to come. You need to pull them back and keep them, because God hasn't forgotten you. And we as believers need to hold on to those promises. If God has made you a promise, he's not like a man that he can lie. That's what the scriptures say. If God has made a promise, and you know that you know that you know, and yet you've maybe failed, you maybe had some moral failures, some different failures, financial failures, decision failures. The list goes on and on. But here's the thing. If God has made a promise, he can redeem the time. I don't know how he does it, but he can do it if you'll let him. Because the Apostle Paul says, who has to redeem the time? Who's he talking to? He's talking to us. In other words, God's not going to do it for you. He's saying, look, it's there for you, but you've got to redeem it. You've got to grab hold of this thing. And that's what you and I have to do as believers. And at times, we don't feel like it. We kind of feel like this, woe is me. I just want to go to the garden and eat worms. You know, we're kind of in that depressive state sort of thing. And the thing is, we got to shake ourselves and say, no, I know that God's got better for me. Here's what I believe, and I made this, it's not in my notes here, but I was thinking about this during the week. There's good, better, best in God. I don't want just good. I don't want just better. I want the best of what he's got for me. And for that, you and I have to do what? Redeem the time. We've got to take back that which the enemy has stolen from us. Don't let him just rob you blind. You don't have to. You can make a decision to say, no, enough is enough. I want what God's got for me, those divine moments with him and those divine moments in this world. Because when those moments happen, that's the presence moments, when you're carried in the spirit, where maybe everything's going wrong in your life, and then all of a sudden, you just know God's there. And you know, when you have those divine moments, that everything is going to be okay. It's just, that's his nature. So let's go on. Let's go on to the next verse. If we go down to verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, this word unwise, I looked this up in the concordance. This is literally how it can translate. Stupid, ignorant, egotistic, rash, or unbelieving. Those are pretty strong words. So when it says unwise, let me just tell you again. He's saying, don't be stupid. Don't be ignorant. Don't be egotistic. In other words, don't make it about you. Don't be rash. In other words, don't make sudden decisions in maybe a weak moment or a difficult time in your life. Don't be unbelieving. That's literally what he's saying. But know or understand, perceive what the will of the Lord is. Wow. That is like in your face, isn't it? Don't be stupid. I'm telling that. Don't be stupid. But understand what the divine purpose of God's will is for your life. Now, how come we're stupid sometimes? How come we're ignorant? How come we're rash? Let me tell you why. Because we live in a world that all kinds of things, there's a flurry going on around us all the time to distract us from what God has for us. All the time it's going on. It could be our own past. It could be events that are going on around us that have happened. And it will cause us to get our eyes off Jesus. But he's the author and finisher of our lives. And we're to fix our eyes upon him. Amen. And so we have that hope within us. God has a will and a purpose for us. So as we go on, and it says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this can mean, to be drunk with wine, can literally, in the original language, can mean literally alcohol. In other words, to be drunk, you know, where you're just not aware of what's going on. And it can mean that, and that's not a bad way to interpret this, because we shouldn't be that way. But it also speaks of don't be drunk with wine of dissipation of this world. In other words, to be drunk with the ways of this world, to be filled to the top of the things that the world does that is against the things of the kingdom. And then it goes on and says, but be filled with the Spirit. And that word filled means to be brought up to the brim, or here's a better translation, satisfied with the Spirit. See, one of the issues that you and I deal with is that sometimes, especially if we've been in the Lord any length of time, that sometimes we get kind of a wandering spirit, so to speak. In other words, we have God and God's doing stuff, but then, you know, the bright lights of the world and circumstance around kind of poof, 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 and we get distracted by it. And the Lord says, be satisfied with what you have in God. And that doesn't mean that you can just stop. In other words, that enough is enough. But to be satisfied with what the Spirit wants to supply you. Be filled with the Spirit. You know, be drunk with the wine of the Spirit, in a sense. To allow the presence of God to change you. And don't be deceived by the ways of the world. And that's what the Scripture's talking about. So how do we do that? You know, how do we keep our eyes fixed on him? How do we actually function getting our priorities straight in life? Because it's easy for me to say, okay, here we are in church. Yes, you need to put God first. And everyone on Monday morning says, well, what does that mean? What does God expect in a practical way? Well, I'm going to put a tool in your hands now. If the ushers will stand up, they've got some cards that they're going to give out to you. And if you do not have a pen, there's pens in the front, in the seats in front of you, but they have pens as well. So I encourage you, you're going to have to work a little this morning. Is that okay? Is that okay? You know, most of the time I just let you sit and I talk to you and you say amen once in a while. I got one. I'm good. Thank you. But, okay, go ahead. Give the cards out. So everybody take a card. If you don't have a pen, take a pen. And yes, I know this requires effort. I know that, you know, you came and thinking, hey, I just want to sit here. But do you want to grow? Sometimes you have to do a little work to be able to grow. So I this is a personal request I have that if you will follow along and make some notes, and again, it's going to you don't have to figure it out by yourself. It's going to go up on the screens. So basically, it's fill in the blanks as we walk along with this, all right? I want to help you to be able to prioritize your life in a way that maybe you haven't seen before. Now, as we look at this box, what I want to do is talk to you about a man. His name was Dwight Eisenhower. How many people have heard of that guy? He was president for two terms in the late 50s. I'm sorry, to what? Yeah, well, yeah, I haven't got to that yet, but he was a president. Before that, he was a five-star general, led the Allies to victory in World War II in the European theater. The guy never saw active combat, but he was one of these tactician guys, brilliant in how he could organize and do different things. This is an amazing individual. And as part of his life, when he came into the presidency, he really made a commitment to Christ. Became, you know, he may have known Christ in the past, but when he came to be into the presidency, him and Billy Graham became tight. He accepted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He's the guy. Now think about this. You may not know this. Here's a little historical tidbit. He's the guy that, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance that we say one nation, and it says what after that? He put that in. It wasn't there. It was him. It was Dwight Eisenhower that said, it needs to be there. We need to be under God. And he was the guy that had that in. Well, anyway, he made a quote up. And so that's attributed to him. And they're going to put the quote up, I hope. And it says this: what is important is seldom urgent, and what is urgent is seldom important. And so, you know, it's interesting, right? We have, here he is talking about the urgent and the important, like we were talking about last week. So rarely, here's what he's saying though. Rarely are things urgent and important. That's really what he's saying. But he's also differentiating between the urgent and the important. What you hold in your hand is something that's known as the Eisenhower Matrix. That's what that's called. He developed this. This is based upon this quote. And what it does, it helps you and me, and it helped him, to organize the priorities of life. And that's what it is. It's called the Eisenhower Matrix, these four boxes. Now, you'll notice that I made them a little lighter for you because I'm going to fill my blanks in with white. But I noticed that when I made it dark and printed it for you, you wouldn't be able to see it. So I went much lighter than what's on the screens. So as we begin to look at this, I want you to see the first box, the red box. And this is called they're going to put it up. Boom, go ahead. Firefighting box. It's the urgent and important. Now, I need you to understand how this thing works. You see how there's an X in the middle? It says urgent out on the left, not urgent on the right. Important at the top, not important. Well, okay, this is the matrix. So if you look up into the left corner, because urgent and important come together, what does that mean? That's both in urgent and important. You get it? Okay? So if you go to the bottom corner, that's not important and not urgent. If you go to the left bottom corner, it means urgent, not important. Upper right, important, not urgent. So as we go through this, you can see how this all works, okay? So let's talk about this for a little bit. Firefighting, urgent, unimportant. That's the kind of things that you got to do right away. So bring the next box up. Let's have a look here. So the one on the right, it's important, but it's not urgent. This is quality time. So important and not urgent. Now, this is all going to make sense, but I encourage you, let's just follow along and fill this out. So we have our first box is firefighting, meaning it has to be done immediately. Over on the right is quality time. It's important. Now, as far as God's concerned, what is important more important than urgent? Important is important. Urgent plays a role, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. And these colors actually mean something. Okay, let's move on to our third box. Distractions. They're urgent, but they're not important. And we're going to define some of these things for you and help you to see where all these things fit together. So distractions. How many people can relate already to these boxes? You know, you've got some firefighting stuff you're dealing with, urgent and important. You've got, you know, quality time issues, you know, things that you like to see in that box. And you've got, my hands are both up. Distractions, yeah, lots of those. And then we have our fourth box, the brown box. And that's time wasters. That's like one level lower than distractions. They're not important and they're not urgent, yet it eats up our time. How many people would love to have more than 24 hours in a day? Like, how about like 36? Well, you know what I found out is that I don't believe that we need more time. We just need to make better use of the time that God's given us. Although I do agree with you that 36 hours would probably be better. But God's given us 24, so let's make the best of them. So these are our four categories. What I'm going to give you now are some examples that might fit into these different categories. Now, you'll notice that when I give the examples, there's still going to be some blank lines underneath because you are going to have some things that you're going to want to add on a personal level into those boxes. But I encourage you not to do it until you see how this whole thing works. And you'll see where your points will fit in. So let's look at firefighting first. What are some things that would fit underneath that? Well, unforeseen emergencies. Let's say you get a phone call in the middle of the night. Well, you didn't know you were going to get a phone call. Maybe someone that's sick in your family or something that's happened. You can't help those things, right? But it's urgent. It's immediate. You can't schedule that, can you? And so that's an unforeseen emergency. A crying baby. You know, if you're a family person, you got a baby that's crying or one of your people have been hurt in your household, you got to deal with that right away. I remember Alexander tripped Aaron when Aaron was just a little baby. My oldest boy just tripped him and he fell and bumped his head open and ripped his head open and it needed stitches. I'm like, I was so mad. We were all getting ready to go to the movies that night. You know, it's like, man, I got to go to the hospital instead of the movies. Yeah, it was horrible. But the point is, I couldn't put that off, right? It's a firefighting moment. It's urgent. It's important. You just can't postpone it. And then projects with deadlines. Taxes. You know, those are kinds of things you can't put off. And if you do, it costs you, right? There's always a cost when you delay the urgent and the important in life. And so again, don't put anything else in there until you see the rest of the list. You maybe have some things right now that you're like, oh my gosh, I got a few of those extra I want to put in there. Just hold on to it for a minute. Okay, let's talk about quality time, the green zone over on the right. What are some things that would fit in there? Well, relationships. You know, faith, family, friends. That fits right in there in that category. Financial planning. How about vehicle maintenance, vehicle house maintenance, those kinds of things. Recreation, vacations. Those are the kind of things that really should be in the quality time zone. All right, and that's really important. Those areas are all good things. In fact, you notice in the firefighting end, it's like crisis mode you're in. But over here in quality time, it's not so much like that. These are events and things that you plan for and you execute them. You've made a decision to do these things. It's not that you're forced to do these things, but you're planning and working through these things. And so again, you may have some other things to put in there, but just hold on. And then let's go down to the left to distractions. What are some things that fit in there? How about this? How many people get emails to Wazoo? You know what I'm saying? You open your computer. If you haven't checked your emails for a while, you got a list that's like about this long. For some of you, I know what you do. You just don't bother. You just let them accumulate. For others, you check them or you do mass deletions, right? And so you got irrelevant emails. How about phone calls? You know, it's urgent, right? Because the phone is ringing. So you got to look at it. You want to see what's going on. How about with the email notification? I'll have my phone on me, and I'll be having a conversation with someone. And we're just going along. And sometimes it's really important, right? So my email thing will ding. Then an email came. And the other person will be like, are you going to check that? I'm like, no, I'm talking. Yeah, but it could be important. Listen, you are the most important person right now. I'm with you. The email can wait. The phone call can wait. Let's just forward. But I'll tell you something. Dinging bells and little reminder things, they distract us. And they cause us to get out of the moment that God's called us to be in at that moment to go and deal with these other things on the side, which often are frivolous in nature. So, you know, popular activities. Sometimes we get caught up because everybody else is doing it. We're doing it, but it becomes a distraction. It takes away from the goals that God has called us to. So again, does that mean we can't do any of those things? You know, don't answer your phone. Don't check your emails. Don't do popular activities. I'm not suggesting that. What I'm saying is if they're distracting you from quality time or dealing with firefighting things, then it's a problem. So you need to be aware of that. All right, so let's move on to some of the time wasters, which is kind of in the same category. Television. You know, we could spend a lot of time just watching television. Not that television is evil in itself, but if you just, I encourage every person here to just have a little piece of paper by their television. You turn it on, mark down the time. When you shut it off, mark the time. Do that for a week and see how many hours that you spend watching television. And then ask yourself the honest question, how much of that time was really productive in nature and really was helpful in my life? You know, just ask that question. So I'm not condemning anybody here. I'm just suggesting ask the question and see what the Lord says to you. Okay, clickbait articles. Now, if you surf the internet, you know what I'm talking about. You'll be going along doing what you, maybe checking your email, and all of a sudden you see something very interesting, like how a man survived at sea for a year without any help. You're like, well, that's pretty cool. I'd like to read that article. So you click it. That's called clickbait. They got you, all right? And so the first thing says, yeah, man, survived for a whole year without any help in a boat, without any water, electricity. And you're like, oh, that's really cool. The problem is the article doesn't go on. It says click next. And they got like 500 little ads. And then it takes, I don't care how fast your internet is. Do you know that it takes forever for those ads to load? Do you know that they do that intentionally? They click up one at a time. And I just want to get to the stinking article. Well, they did that. It's called clickbait. They have hooked you line and sinker. You know what I'm saying? You're stuck because you really want to know how the guy survived. And so it goes on to like 30, 40 slides. And an article that would take you like a minute to read because it's not that long takes you 15 minutes to read. You just got hosed and suckered. You just wasted a whole lot of time. Nowadays, most of the time, I don't even bother. And so if I really am interested, what I'll do is go up and I'll just enter it as a search word. And then what happens, so I'll say, man lost at sea for a year. Then the article will come up just as a web article. And then you don't have all the ads. Don't get suckered by that. You can waste hours and hours of time by clickbait articles. Okay, this one at the bottom, I don't want anybody to throw stuff at me, especially the young people. Video gaming. Now, there is an exception to this. If you are a video game person who is making money making video games, you play all the video games you want. But if you're just doing it for recreational purposes, you need to use some wisdom in how much time you're spending doing that. Because it's going to be taking away. We only have 24 hours. Remember, we want 36, but we only have 24. And so if we're doing that, it could be taking us away from quality time and firefighting. So go to the next slide. I think I label these a little bit. So firefighting, we need to do them. These are urgent. You got a fire burning. You know what I'm saying? You got a late mortgage payment. You got a late car payment. You need to do what you got to do to deal with this, all right? You got a baby crying. You got projects with deadlines, unforeseen things, taxes. Deal with it. This is like you got a fire burning and you need to put all your time, energy, and effort into doing it. You know why? You actually want to see the firefighting box empty. You don't want things to end up there. See, why are taxes in the firefighting box? They don't have to be. They could be in the quality time box. Because when you're doing your financial planning months in advance, you don't have to wait to the stinking deadline. You can do this months in advance in preparation so that you do it on your time. Your time. You hear what I'm saying? Rather than it being, oh my gosh, the deadline's here. I'm gonna pay, you know, a fee and you know, penalties. It doesn't have to be that way. Here's the problem with you and I. Some of us here enjoy doing administrative things. So we like to do our financial planning. We like to do our taxes. But for many of us, including me, I don't like doing that stuff. So you know what you and I tend to do? Push it to the side. Push it to the side. And do the other things that we want to do. And so then all of a sudden, the date comes up, and it's in firefighting mode. And now it's no longer on our time and on our terms. It's because the deadline is approaching, and we have to deal with it. The firefighting box should be as empty as possible. So the only thing really in there is unforeseen emergencies. Everything else that you can see and deal with should have been dealt with already under the quality time category, because that's where it belongs. And so we have to do the things on the firefighting side. On the quality time side, we need to make decisions. In other words, don't procrastinate. Don't just go down and say, well, I'm just going to watch TV because I just don't feel like doing my financial plan. I don't feel like doing my taxes. Listen, if you have that attitude through your life, you're going to have a miserable life. Every day is going to be a crisis mode. And you know what crisis creates? Stress. You know what stress creates? Heart issues, blood pressure issues. The list goes on and on. It will affect you in the natural. God didn't intend you to live a life of stress. He's called you and I to walk with him and is walking with him to plan together with him, to make decisions with him. Amen. So our time, for example, let's look at vehicle maintenance for a minute. You've known that you should change your oil. How about this? Just check it once in a while. Listen, old oil that's full is better than no oil and never changing your oil. Okay, I tell you from experience, all right? Just check it once in a while. Be aware of it. You do that, it saves you being in firefighting mode. You're driving down the road and your engine seizes up. And then now all of a sudden, you got to get to work. That costs you extra. All of a sudden, you got to go buy a car. And now you're under pressure and duress to buy a car. You can't shop to get a deal because you got to have the car. So here's the money. Just give me the car so I can get. You see how what happens is in firefighting mode, you're forced to make decisions that you don't have to. But if it was under quality time and you're doing the maintenance on your house, for example, you got that little drip coming out of your ceiling. Just one little drip. Can't be that big a deal, right? Well, by the time it's dripping through the roof and through your ceiling, your roof's already rotten in one area. It's already rotten in about a 4-foot round circle that all has to be replaced already. And you let that go long enough, your roof that might be a $10,000 roof to replace all of a sudden has become $15,000 or $20,000. You hear what I'm saying? All of a sudden it becomes a firefighting mode. And the money you thought you didn't have under the quality time mode, now you're really stuffed because under the firefighting mode, you got to pay to fix the roof because the roofer's got everything off it. And now they got to pay to do all the extra. You hear what I'm saying here? You need to make a decision to plan things out and beat the firefighting mode. That's where you need to be. So recreation, vacation, you need rest time. You need to plan for that. I'm the most guilty of all. In fact, Sandra, my cruise director, she's the one that looks after all that because if it was me, I just come to work every day. This is what I do. And so she literally forces me to go away. And I hate it going, but once I'm away, it takes me about 4 days, 5 days to kind of wind down. I'm like, it's awesome. In fact, it bugs her a little bit. She's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, nothing. you know, because I just disconnect from the entire world, and it's so awesome. But the thing is, she has to pull me into that. Sometimes for some of us, we're like that. We have to make that decision to do that. Okay, let's go down to distractions. Those things, we need to use some wisdom there. We need to diminish those things. You know, the emails, when your phone dings, don't always be in the habit. You always got to check it. It'll be there. If you're in the middle of a conversation, finish the conversation. You know what I'm saying? Don't let all these devices and let the world encroach on the time that you want to do a certain thing, all right? In other words, you can be the boss. Listen, your cell phone is not your boss. You are your boss over your life. You can tell it what to do. In fact, you can actually set your phone at certain times of the day or night not to give you messages. And you can just check them as a bunch message after. Can I tell you, the world won't come to an end? I've learned that. It's okay. The world will not come to an end. Heaven forbid, what did we do? Some of you older folks like me, what did we do when we didn't have cell phones? Oh my gosh. It must have been just horrible. No, to be quite honest, life was quite nice. You didn't hear bad news till the end of the day. You didn't have to deal with it all the way through. You know, it's okay to shut that thing off once in a while. Amen. Time wasters, do less of those things. If you'll notice, I really didn't put any sin here, but if there are habits and lifestyles in your life that aren't appropriate or healthy for you, it's under that time waster category. That's where that should go. Amen. And there are things that you and I do, all of us do, that don't bring honor and glory to God, have no redeeming value to him at all. And that's where it should be, in the brown. You know, I made it brown because it's earthy, it's dirt. You know, that's kind of how I wanted to look at that. And so do, decide, diminish, do less. So do you have anything that you need to put in some of those boxes? And again, these are kind of general type things. But there's things that each one of us need to put in different places there. But let me tell you something, though you may fill up that red box today, work on emptying it. Because here's how it's supposed to look. Bring up the next slide. It's really not supposed to look like four quadrants like this. This is how it's supposed to look from a percentage point of view. You're still going to have some firefighting things to deal with. You're still going to have some distractions, some time wasters. But the zone, the place that you and I are supposed to live in, is in the green zone. Relationships, faith, family, friends, that's church. You know, those kinds of things. Our financial life planning, you know, planning ahead, making decisions for our future. Our vehicle, house maintenance, those are things we need to be actively, you know, on top of. Our recreation, vacations, those are things. Personal development, you know, life skills and those kinds of things. This is where we're supposed to be. You'll notice that's like three quarters of it. And then the other things are supposed to be pushed out of the way. That's where you and I are supposed to live. I'm going to close with a scripture in Galatians. Everybody have enough time to write down stuff? Are you okay? Okay. Just so you know, we have extra cards. That was my list I've given you. If you want new blank ones, just come up after service, ask the ushers. They'll give you a blank one. You could start again and fill in what you want, your list. You know what I'm saying? And so I encourage you to do that. But let me close with a scripture this morning. Galatians 6, verses 7 to 9. And this is to encourage you, this scripture. And here's what the word says. Again, the Apostle Paul is saying this. Do not be deceived. That word deceived literally means go astray. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he shall reap. In other words, you know, whatever we do, we will reap the consequences, whether good or bad. In fact, he goes on and talks about that. In verse 8, for he who sows to the flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption, or a better word that can be translated is ruin. In other words, if you do what the world does, eventually it will lead you to a bad place. But, this is the good part, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And here's, I love this in verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That word season means set time. And growing weary, you know, the idea is that we just get tired. Sometimes we get tired of doing the right thing. We get tired of planning things. And we're like, oh, I just want some downtime. Listen, there's nowhere in the Bible that you can't have some downtime. Even Jesus said to his disciples, let's come aside and rest for a little while. You know, there are times where we need to do that. So again, I'm not saying that you have to be in that green zone all the time where it's go, 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 go. You know, my nature is that way. I'm a little bit like that. But the thing is, we need recreational time. We need some downtime. But again, everything in balance. See, here's the problem. Some of us, and I'm as guilty as this, I'll do the recreational time. I'll do the distraction time. You know why? I don't want to deal with the firefighting. I just want to bury my head. I just don't want to deal with it. Here's the problem. The stuff in the firefighting zone gets worse and worse and worse, either costing you money or time or hurting in different relationships. And you're burying your head in the sand over here because you just don't want to deal with it. The problem is you have to make a decision to deal with it. And you know what I found? That when I make the decision, I feel so free after. It's like, oh, I'm so glad. Like when I get my taxes done, I am so thrilled about it. I do taxes in two countries, all right? You think you got it tough, all right? Two different sets of rules, like Canada and the U.S. And then they both want to know what's going on in each country. So in a sense, I'm doing it three different ways. It's horrible. But when I'm done that, I'm like, oh, this is so nice. And the thing is, for each one of us, when we finish dealing with a firefighting activity, it feels good. Don't procrastinate with those things, but just get past it. Go back to that scripture, just finishing up there. It says, if we do not lose heart, don't become faint-hearted. You will reap a harvest. If you'll do the things God has called you to do, focusing on the important and the not urgent, but also dealing with the urgent, if you will do it God's way, God will bless you. Why? It's a promise from His Word. Don't take it from me, take it from Him. Amen.